Oh, that's right. We're supposed to have the Bible, don't worry. Still eat you. My yoke is easy. A lot of folks have yoked themselves some hard things. Things they can't get loose from. Things that wreck their lives. But he said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, Father, please help me in the mighty name of Jesus the next few minutes, Lord, to leave your people with something, Lord, that would help them, Lord, that would bless them. Lord, there are people here tonight need to be renewed in their strength, be renewed in their love for you, need to be renewed in our zeal, oh God, in our fire, Lord. As Jerry Darrell said, we've got to have our vessels ready, Lord. We're getting ready, not going to be good enough, Lord. We've got to be ready. Oh God, help us. Oh, God, Lord, feed your sheep, Lord. Those that are weak tonight and those that are needing rest. Oh, God, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Beware of these folks that preach self-esteem. It's as far from the gospel of Jesus Christ as you're going to get to feel good about yourself or to tell somebody they need to have self-esteem. You've heard them talk about low self-esteem. Well, that's what you need to get along with Jesus is low self-esteem. In fact, if you get yourself completely out of the picture, everybody preaches it. Coleridge preaches it. I've heard him preach it. I've heard Stanley preach it. I've heard the guy in the glass house in California preach it. The other day I heard T.D. Jakes mention it. And I thought that old boy would be full enough of the Holy Ghost, he'd have more sense than that. But he doesn't. He's an educated man. You know, he's got real command of the language. And you can tell he's been to school, but boy, school just ruins. You're telling you that you have to feel good about yourself. Amen. I read Webster's book quite often. He changes subjects for a regular, but it's an interesting book. One brother said he thinks he knows everything. But I come to the word self-esteem, and he says it's conceit. Self-esteem is conceit. See, Jesus didn't feel good about himself. Didn't have any ego. Jesus did. Jesus did not feel good about himself. He wouldn't let the rich young ruler call him good. In the 22nd Psalm, he felt like it was a worm. And in one place, he said, our fathers, you know, they prayed and you answered them. But he said, I'm a worm and no man. Talking to his father, said, "You." That's in the 22nd Psalm. He said, you won't answer me. He did, of course, on the third day. You know, the Bible said, who in the days of his flesh offered up to the Lord with strong crying and tears, and was heard in that he feared. Amen. So when he asked the Lord to deliver him from that cup was death. Amen. And so 3 days later, he was delivered. Amen. So the Lord did hear him and answer his prayer. Okay, but see, this was his idea about himself. Don't make no difference what anybody else thinks about you. It's what you think about yourself that condemns you. Yeah. You get stuck on yourself and you just shot down. Amen. Jesus had a sense of favor. I've always had a sense of failure. And I, I, I thank God. I prayed, Lord, deliver me from successful people. I don't want to be around successful people. They know how. They can do seminars and show you how to do it, you know. Just forget it. Amen. If I ever learn how to preach, you know, I hope I don't find it out. Amen. Just something you don't want to know how to do. Amen. Yeah. Right. Hallelujah. I remember one time I went to my pastor. I thought when I got saved, I'd be another Elmer Gantry or a J. Charles Jessup or A. Allen or an Oral Roberts or something, you know, and there I was, couldn't get anything. We had 4 kids in 5 years. Never could do anything, never had any success, still haven't, amen. But back then I was wanting to have success, driving around an old Studebaker Champion, you know. Had 4 babies in diapers, amen, dirty diaper on each one of them, pull up in front of a church and say, we're here to do something for Jesus. So it looked pretty bleak, amen. So I went to my pastor, and they picked me up off the streets of Tulsa and just started pouring money in me and sent me to Bible school, bought me new clothes, gave me a shower, and they must give me $3,000 or $4,000 the 3 years out of school. And so I went by there one day to see him. I said, Brother Hartz, I'm sorry, you know, that you've put your money down this rat hole. You could have invested it, you know, where it had done some good. I've tried, and I can't do anything. I said, do you ever feel like you failed? Oh, he said, really. Now, that man's been in the ministry for 50 years at that time. Had 1,500 funerals, you know. Had hundreds of young preachers go out under his ministry. Run 400 or 500 in Sunday school, you know. Just that type of man. All of his kids took responsible places in the world, you know. Old Jim Hart's on the Today program for a while. And old Herbie, he was the chief of police at Tulsa. Old Leon was the CPA top controller of all Oral Roberts' funds for 30 years. Yeah. Old Dale, he lives in an $800,000 house over in Tulsa. To this day, he went high and over low. All the kids, you know. Yeah, I was talking to their dad. Oh, he said, Reed, he said, I carry a sense of failure with me all the time. He said, I've discovered it's a pretty good spiritual attitude. The Bible said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. I heard Billy Graham tell a Diane Sawyer on television, millions of people watching. She said, what do you think about it? You see them old films of your boy that did it. I saw a film when Billy Graham started preaching out. Boy, he had a mean countenance. Yeah, he did. Boy, you tell he's a prophet of God, scare you. Yeah. I'm telling you, Billy Graham was. Amen. He said, "I what do you think about it? You see that?" He said, I think about how scared I was. He said, what do you feel like? Oh, I said, I feel like I failed. I'm a failure. What does all this mean to you? All these people saying you're the most famous religious person outside the Pope in the world today. Oh, he said, that doesn't mean anything to me, Diane. He said, what I would really like to hear when I get to heaven, I would like to hear the Lord Jesus say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Diane, he said, I'm not so sure I'm going to hear him say that. Amen. Boy, when that old Baptist preacher said that, his stock was already high in my book. But when he said that, it went up to the ceiling. Hallelujah. I'm not so sure I'm going to hear him say that. Hallelujah. So a sense of failure. Amen. Jesus had a sense of failure. Go to the 49th chapter of Isaiah. You'll find it. He said, I've spent my labor in vain. Amen. Yeah. Thought he had spent his labor in vain. Hallelujah. But here he added this. But I'll leave my work in the hands of my Father. Hallelujah. In the hands of God. See, that's what, let him say whether you've been a success or not. Yeah, see, I was in a convention somewhere anyway. I heard one of his prayer and Bible conference over in Lubbock, I think it was. And Pastor Marcus all said, got up I addressed that guy, and I said, I am a successful pastor. When he said that, I just trembled. Oh. Let somebody else say that about you. That's what's wrong. Somebody said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I said, let somebody else say that about you. Let another live praise you, not your own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep yourself down. Put yourself down. Hallelujah. It is a secret to your relationship with your wife. You know, if you'll just keep putting yourself down, you can live with that redheaded woman. I know I've got a redheaded woman. That's the truth. I'm telling you a true story. Amen. If they'll humble themselves, they can live with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's a secret. It's a secret. Really, I'm telling you the secret. You know, I have to say, Mama, I'm sorry I offended you, when I know I haven't done anything to offend her. It's a true story. And she probably said, and I don't remember her ever saying that, but amen. One of these days she's going to, but I'm believing for her. Amen. It's a secret on your job, you know, not where you're working. Amen. A sense of humility and a lowness about you, and willing to apologize and say, I'm sorry. My brother worked for Williams Pipeline Company for 40 years. And one day, him and an old man had a run-in down there at the plant. The next day, my brother went back and said, hey, dude, sorry about that run-in we had yesterday. That old man said, son, that was yesterday. He said, that ended at midnight, last night. Don't want to carry that over on your job the next day, do you? Amen. No. Hallelujah. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Settle it before you go to sleep tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord, help me. I've got to cut across. I've got to quit. I've got to close. I've got to. Let me say something, Lord. God, help. It's the secret to the power of God. See, we go after the power of God the way the devil did. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend the sides of the north. You know, amen. And so Jesus said, who being in the form of God, and saying, I've come through it this morning. That's kind of what made me direct me toward this service tonight. Amen. I was going to go golfing at 7 o'clock, and I looked at the clock and thought it said a quarter of 7. It was a quarter of 6. Yeah. Well, I said, yeah, I just got in there and read my Bible. Waited on the sun to come up. Amen. Well, come on there where it said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, that really meant that he didn't think like being like God was something to be eagerly grasped after or retained. Amen. See, that's the way the devil went after it. He eagerly lusted after to be like God. Amen. And that's the way we go after the power of God. Well, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to rattle the windows of heaven. You know, well, there's no reluctance in heaven, dummy. What are you trying to do? Amen. God wants you to have it worse than you want to have it. Amen. Hallelujah. All you got to do is humble yourself, see? And what the devil would eagerly grasp after, God gave it to Jesus when he humbled himself and became obedient to death. See? Amen. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Hallelujah. Yeah, see? And he'll give it to you if you humble yourself.
Amen.
And he'll give it to me if I'll humble myself.
Amen.
Yes. He's waiting on you to get down there. It's a secret to the power of God. It's a secret to justification. Jesus told this parable. I read it a while ago. Looking for another scripture. Amen. Well, just let me tell you this. Jesus thought he was a failure. In the 12th chapter of Zechariah, he thought 30 pieces of silver. That one broke my heart for a day or two. Yeah. When he said he thought 30 pieces of silver was a goodly price, that's what he said. 30 pieces of silver was a goodly price. That was his idea about himself. And when I realized I didn't want to take 30 pieces of silver for myself, then it rebuked me. And I realized then, you know, I read it like Sister Gibson says, I like to think that I'm humble once in a while, you know, and try to be out of sight. Amen. But like she said, I miss it. It's just terrible. Amen. Well, anyway, when I realized that I didn't want to take 30 pieces of silver for myself, then I realized I had a ways to go to get down there with that lowly Jesus. See? Oh, that broke my heart for about 3 days. Amen. I wept over that scripture. Hallelujah. He thought 30 pieces of silver was a big prize. Oh, hallelujah. There's another note I haven't found. I can't tell you where it is. I looked all the time up there singing, trying to find it. I thought it was in the book of Luke, but it's not. Where the old boy comes in and he calls his servants in and out of the field, you know, and he calls them to sit down for supper and he serves them. Amen. I can't find just one place in the scripture where it means it. But if one of these days the Lord Jesus is going to set us down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And the Bible called it the judgment seat of Christ, but I don't think it's going to be a judgment seat. It's going to be an awards banquet, more or less. Well, I think he's going to call us in there. Hallelujah. He's going to serve us. And I believe he'll call us up there one at a time. Reed Gibson, front and center. Here's what you did. You went down to Shoto and preached. You went over to, you know, another place too. Amen. Yeah. And just an appreciation for what. But I believe he will be thanked. Amen. I really do. I believe he'll take time. Amen. Anyway, can you imagine the Lord Jesus serving you? You imagine how you would recoil from that? I don't know how he's going to do it. Carve the turkey and put it on your plate, or he's going to bring the plate out of the kitchen and serve it to you, or how he's going to do it. Amen. I guess it's going to take 7 years to do it. I don't know. Anyway, to have the Lord Jesus serving you? No, Lord, I need to be serving you. You sit down. Let me serve you. I'm talking about the lowliness of Jesus, how lowly he was. See, if you could match him for lowliness, then you could match him for everything else. If you could match him, if you could get as lowly as he was. You'll never be like him down here. Now, you get a little more like him each day, but you'll never be like him until you see him. Now, one of these days, I've got a promise that I will be like him. Amen. Yeah. When we see him, then we'll be like him, for if we see him as he is. See, and that's what keeps you going. That's what, boy, one of these days, I will be like him. Whew, can you imagine that, me being like him? That's a stretch, ain't it? That's what keeps me going. That's a prize, he said, in heaven. Glory to God, Paul said. Amen. I press toward that mark. I bring all my powers to bear on this one thing. Hallelujah. That prize for which he called me heavenward. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. But Jesus spoke this parable concerning those who trusted in themselves. They were righteous and yet despised others. You know, we've all holiness folks have come through this stage of adolescence and experience. You know, where they judge everybody if they don't comb their hair just right. And if they happen to go to a movie, you know, or they see them smoking a cigarette, you know, or something like that, they go, oh, they just nearly faint, you know. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Not even saved. Jesus said, judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I used to judge everybody. You know, if they played Tiddlywinks on Sunday afternoon, man, how can they do that? How can they be spiritual like mine? And despise others. Not even saved. Old West Texas preacher got up and walked out on me one night at the Cedar, and I was playing my fiddle. Next time I see him, I'm going to tell him, Bob Goodman, you're not saved. You need to get saved. Old judging spirit you've got about you. I say he's not saved. Don't get up to heaven's gate and then say somebody didn't tell me. I told you. Amen. You need to get saved. Amen. Get rid of that judgmental attitude. Amen. You're not saved. Well, we cast out devils. We prophesied. Yeah, you did a lot of things. Amen. You get up there and get to bragging about it, too. He said, I never knew you. We've all met them kind of people. And folks, don't be like that. You're not saved. Now, I'm telling you. Jesus said, you're in danger of hell fire when you lift yourself up above your brother. Look down on your brother. Call your brother a fool. Think you're better than. See? This is what he said. Oh, let me read this out of the second Philippians there. Called, but I've done come past that where Jesus humbled himself. But I want to just read you what it said. Let nothing be done through vainglory or strife, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's Philippians 2 and 3, I think. Hallelujah. See, God put an inferiority complex in every one of us. Unless some idiot of a psychiatrist had tried to talk you out of it and tell you you're just as good as anybody. No, you're not. That you may be. I knew a woman that, you know, she thought, I thought she was more spiritual than her husband, too. And she was until she thought she was. When she thought she was, then that ruined the whole thing. Amen. I'm telling you. You know what I titled this sermon? I've got a secret. I have got a secret. This is a secret. That's the secret. That's a secret. Humility, you think you have it, you don't have it. Spirituality, you think you have it, you don't. Amen. You think you're spiritual? Amen. No, you want to put yourself down. Amen. I tell them, I said, you know, I've never met anybody that was sorry they were a Christian. I've met a lot of sorry Christians. But in fact, I think I'm a sorry Christian. Sister Womple was saying, yeah, I think so too, brother. You think you're a good Christian? Come off of it. I keep trying. But I just keep coming up short. Keep coming up short. I want to be like him. But see, that's not the problem. Having him in you is your hope of glory. It's not being like him. It's having him in you. Christ in you is your only hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, Jesus talked about this parable that those that despised others, you know, and trusted in themselves, they were righteous and yet despised others. Talked about the two men that went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican and the Republican. I'm sure it was a Republican. I don't think a Democrat would go to the temple to pray. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're for the things they endorse, I doubt it too. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Gwen's mama used to say. You couldn't be a Christian and be a Democrat. We'd laugh at her, but I'm about to join up with grandmother. Amen. And so the Pharisees said, this is us, isn't it? But every time the door's open, I pay my tithe. I fast twice in a week. And I'm so glad I'm not like other people. Not that Republican. But the old publican, he wouldn't even much lift up his eyes, but smote on his breast and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My Amplified, now that's what King James said, my Amplified says, he said, be merciful to me, I am the exceeding great and terrible sinner. I am the sinner, not a sinner. And scholars will tell me that in the original Greek, the definite article is actually, I am the sinner. That did what? That caused the death of Jesus. I'm the one, Lord, that caused you all the trouble. See, you don't hear this testimony. You used to hear it pretty often around Pentecost. I believe if I'd been the only one that needed salvation, Jesus would have died for me. I believe it. But along with that, you have to accept the responsibility that you are the only sinner. And that you are guilty of the original sin. And being a human being, naturally you are, because it came down on the whole race. The original sin. Amen. See, when you realize that you're the worst person God ever let live, and you're the one that caused him all the trouble, because of you, sin came into the world, and the cancer and the homeless children and the broken homes and the heartache and the sorrow, it's all your fault! And you're going to feel good about yourself. I don't think so. I think you'll do like he did. Smote on your breast. Say, God, be merciful to me. And Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified.
Amen.
Lowliness is the secret of justification. Just tell him. Just put it down. Lord, I'll sign any confession you put down. 9 o'clock yet? 5 after. What is it? 7 going to play that 7 minutes overtime, are you? Okay. Well, let me tell you this, too, in closing. But lowliness is a secret to answered prayer. You ever wondered why God has had you just to wallow your plumb down to nothing before he'd answer your prayer? Yeah, that's the way it happens. You have got to get down where there's nothing to you. Yeah, nothing. You just absolutely, completely helpless. This is what David said. Lord, let the lifting up of my hands be unto you like the evening sacrifice. See, there was a morning sacrifice and evening sacrifice. And so being full of the Spirit, he knew that the evening sacrifice, you know, was when Jesus was going to die. They crucified him at the 9 o'clock sacrifice of the morning. He hung on the cross 6 hours. And then died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They call it the evening sacrifice. Really, it was an afternoon sacrifice. But I wondered why he didn't say, let my lifting up of my hands be like the morning sacrifice. He didn't say that. He said, let the lifting up of my hands be unto you as the evening sacrifice. See, it was a time of dying. It was when Jesus died. And Lord, when I lift my hands. And then what Paul said, I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands, you know, praying. And, you know. Well, that's what it means. See. Lifting up of my hands be like unto you as the evening. It's a time when he completely died. See. Amen. When all the, when the Bible said, and this is in 22nd Psalm 2, he said, my heart melted like wax and all my bones stuck out. I'm thinking of Randy. Amen. And, he lost 100 pounds, all of his skin and bone. Jesus was like, all his bones were sticking out. And he said his heart melted like wax. What that actually meant, there was no more retaliation left in him. Getting ready for God to answer your prayer when you don't want to get even. Amen. And you're down to zero. Amen. And you've surrendered it all to him. Hallelujah. I like the way Hardy Steinberg put it one time. It just explained it so good. He said, and I come to the end of myself. See, I used to preach a sermon, God helps those who help themselves. The only thing wrong with that, it just ain't so. God doesn't help those who help themselves. He helps those who have come to the end of themselves and throw up their hands and surrender. Hallelujah. And as Hardy Steinberg said, and I just fall, drop like a spineless blob. Oh, don't you love that? Oh, and I just fall like a spineless blob in his presence. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you this much, saints. I've prayed a lot of prayers, I suppose, in my 55 years trying to serve God that have not been answered. But I'll tell you this much. I have never yet come to the end of myself where I'd be defeated and broken and run over and inundated and wiped out. Hallelujah. And fall across one of his altars somewhere and begin to call on his name. And never, not once in 55 years has he ever failed to come to me. when I get in that attitude before him. Stand with me if you will, please. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, the secret is have no confidence in yourself. I learned that from Dr. Charles Price. He died the year I got saved, 1947. He said, call it self-pity. You know, people say, oh, I'm not supposed to have a pity party. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You know, or get down on yourself. But listen, when you get to the end of yourself, he said, call it whatever you want to call it, but when you get to the end of yourself, you're closer right then to praying the prayer of faith than any other time. Because God's going to wait. And then when you in desperation, cast yourself on him. Hallelujah. He'll not let you down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight. Are you here tonight and you need to feel like you need to humble yourself before the Lord? Need to be restored, need to be refreshed, need to be renewed. What a healing Jesus has been here. I've found in you. What a healing. Sing it with me. To restore, refresh, and renew. What a healing Jesus in such a time.